Luke 8. We're studying obey. The word is hupukaiu. It means to hear under or listen, heed, pay attention to. And let's look at Romans 6. Being made flesh, as we'll see in a minute, when you wait on him.
And here under.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Right.
In faith, believing.
But let's look at another aspect of it. Let's start in Romans 6, verse 5. Oh, let's start verse 4. Verse 3. I'm making Joysana crazy. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in this newness of life. For if we have been planted together in a likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's one of those things that's automatic. If you have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also And notice in your Bible, also in the likeness of his, is all in italics, we shall be also in resurrection or of resurrection. But it's only with death. Now, that's not what we're studying. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Now, wherever sin is in the scriptures, as a singular, you could replace it with self. Because remember, sin isn't what you do, sin is what you are. Trespass is what you do. So unless you hear that sin is self, then you'll never understand the scriptures.
Put your own name there too, though.
Yeah. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For he in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members to the rudiments of unrighteousness. Is that what it says?
Instruments.
My Bible screwed up. Where I put tape over it to. And the instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now here's the kicker. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, what happens when you try to live by your mind or emotions, or you let them reign, you are letting sin reign. And so you, by definition, obey sin because you've yielded unto this instrument of your body, just unto the brute beast. And this is critical.
That's what you're listening to.
Right.
It's like you're listening and hearing under.
You're hearing under the sin instead of hearing under righteousness. Now, we've said it before, but you remember the five I ams or I wills of Satan? You can study it in Isaiah 14. But one of them, he says, I will rise above the cloud. Now, let's go to Numbers 9. We're going to see what obey really means. Now remember, Numbers is the book that describes the travel, if you will, of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land. And so it describes your walk as you try to live this life of Christ, of righteousness. So it happened then in the natural to reveal what was going on within you. That's what the whole of all of that Old Testament is. So Numbers 9 is probably, to me, where we are now, the most important Bible, most important verses in the Bible in terms of obedience. Start in verse, this is right after they observe the Passover. Then in verse 15, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. Now, as you know, you are now the tent of the testimony. That's who you are. That's all you can be, is the tent of the testimony. Amen? And at evening, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. Now, You've got to hear this. The word is calling that cloud the commandment of God. You understand that? And what does that cloud mean to you? Well, a cloud is if you have more than one option about anything, then the cloud is down. And you rest in the tent. You wait. That's how the word is made flesh. When the cloud is raised, you move. A believer never, never, never makes a decision. He follows the commandment of the cloud. Do you understand this?
And the cloud is
doubt.
Jesus Christ, or it is God, or it is the law, or it is.
The cloud is the commandment. The commandment is doubt. Doubt, by definition, means you have more than one option. Yes, here you can. The cloud, the physicality of the cloud was the revelation of the cloud in you. It showed physically in Israel so that we could see that happened for our benefit. Now that's how we live. Now this has to be in every single aspect of your life. There's no place where you can be, no thing that you're doing, if you have more than one option, that you wait. No matter what it looks like to anybody else in the world. Now, when I did this, everybody that I knew thought I was nuts.
The other half of that is that part of it where it talks about to the Egyptians it was darkness and whatever, you know, and to Israel it was light, whatever that is, like Exodus or something.
Okay, well that's not the same thing, but let's talk. We're going to get this more. Verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched their tent. Or they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. The tent of the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. That's who you are. Know you not that you are the temple of the living God? Therefore, come out of her, my people. Come out of what? All your life you've been taught cause and effect. If you do this, that will happen. If you do that, this will happen. But that cause and effect is what is called Babylon. Now you no longer live by cause and effect. You live by faith alone. You live by the commandment of God. And the commandment of God and his people is revealed in doubt. Now you got to get this settled in you. Otherwise you will constantly rise above the cloud. That's what the evil one does. Because the evil one believes there's free will. Now watch what happens. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was. When the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was. When the cloud abode from evening unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. When it was taken up, they journeyed. Now again, here now, you got to hear what this says. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. To me, it's just unbelievable that everybody doesn't see this, because this cloud is called the commandment of God. It doesn't take a spiritual genius to see that the cloud means there's more than one option. If you have a choice, you do nothing. You wait. You rest. What? You're doing it, Gary.
Yeah. Just thinking about the cloud. What it is.
Anybody not understand this? Anybody disagree with it?
It's
stated over and over and over. Now that is they call it in Bible translations or Bible studies, exegesis. If something is repeated just once in a verse or two, then it's really important. If you look and see how many times this is repeated in this few verses, it's mind-blowing. Now, what are you going to follow? Are you going to obey the cloud, or are you going to keep rising above it? Who would have thunk it that doubt would be the commandment of God? Now, this will mess you up. Because everything in you wants to make a decision. As long as you're making the decision, you are under obedience to sin. It followed one of the five I wills of Satan. I will rise above the cloud. Now, there's nothing in terms of how you daily conduct yourself that is more important than this. Now, Barbara Wilson was my secretary. And so I'd asked her to do something. And she said, "No, I don't want to do it. The cloud's down." It doesn't work that way.
If you're employed by you.
Or if you're employed by anybody.
Yeah.
Or I ran the stop sign because...
the cloud was
not. No. You follow the laws of the land because that's there for your obedience.
Interesting that you can't use this.
Well, you can try.
You can try to use it. Oh, yeah, but
as a justification.
But Christ, who is our life, this is how He lives. This is not like
it's not
decision
a rule.
We can make our new mode of operation.
No, it's a what is.
Yeah, it's a what is. And if we try and make it a mode of operation, go ahead, but you'll fail when you try. But in waiting and resting.
But do you understand? Hear me. This is the only way the Word is made flesh. And then I'm determined to speak of nothing until it has been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. Then the words that you speak then will be life, because they produce death in you. Anybody ever listen to one of these guys, television preachers, and they should read the scriptures? It just sounds like it's the same words, but it's just like noise to me. Because they're not living it. So they have no authority except to deceive. All right, so you got this, the commandment of the Lord. Are you going to obey the commandment? Or are you going to rise above the cloud? Now, this is totally and completely internal. Nobody will know. This is like, you know, we've read many times how each of the disciples died. Each of them died alone, where they could have just tweaked the gospel just an inch or just a millimeter and said, this will benefit you some way. And they would have been, and no one would have known they did it. Now the same, this is what integrity is. This is a biggie. What? You got it? Well, I hope you understand completely. Well, I try to find something.
I think the Exodus scripture really melds this thing together.
Oh, the one about the darkness?
14:20.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Do it.
Well, it's...
This is about the Passover, though.
It says it's the cloud came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, the Egyptians, but it gave light.
Oh, that. Yeah, one. Yeah.
To Israel.
Oh, that's
so
right.
That's what connects it to that feeling we have of doubt.
Amen.
Which is darkness and confusion and everything. But he's saying Israel will interpret that as the commandment of God, like we're talking about.
Amen.
So that's the reason the cloud, you know, we think about it.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the darkness and light at Passover. That's so. I'm sorry. This is a good. Yeah. This is important.
Yeah. Can you do all that again?
Okay, and let's start in verse Exodus 14. Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their faces and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. In other words, you'll be protected from this Pharaoh. Understand, you are the Pharaoh.
Is it right where they walk through the sea?
So that is scary and weird to our flesh. We don't like it.
Right.
But faith will see that as the commandment of God telling us to wait or to move or whatever.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Romans 13 a minute. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And subject means obey. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil one. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, or of the evil one, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I used to say I wouldn't eat mashed potatoes if it was against the law. You've got to see that the laws of the land, no matter how they may seem to us, are being used of God for his disciples. They have nothing to do. You can't use your mind to understand that, because you can come up with 10,000 issues that you shouldn't do. That's why that Russian guy, whoever it was, had said, render unto Caesar, who's in prison a lot. I know it wasn't Ben, it was somebody else, I think it was. Anyway, he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. But if Caesar demands that what is God's, you don't resist. You go quietly into Caesar's prison. So this thing about obedience, it's the reason it's so critical. It's the only way that the word is made flesh in you. Amen?
Yeah.
Anybody have any exceptions? You must have thought of some while I was talking.
Mine, I guess.
And it's not like new information. Like we've heard this before. The question is this how we live our lives? Having heard it already, this is a kind of a refresher. And
it's like Deuteronomy. The second, yeah. Same thing, second time.
Yeah, that when you asked me a while ago, the deal I was trying to look at a little panorama of my life to see it, and I know that this doesn't lead me. Word to clarify, but I know that many times that's exactly how I do. There's a lot of doubt. I don't do stuff. Sometimes I do. And that's when I find out I shouldn't have. So the lesson.
All right. I pray that you understand. I pray that the word will be made flesh in you. Because that's the only way there's freedom. Take a big guy.